It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that is why you're not allowed at that Waffle House anymore, even though technically I'm the one who started the fire.
Well, I never wanted to go back there anyway.
That's what I kind of figured. I mean, I would have blamed it on you regardless, but, you know.
Well, as long as I'm not in jail, line. I don't really care. Yeah,
for now.
What's that about?
Here he comes. We'll get to that. In the meantime, you should pick him up and say hi.
Well, that's all right.
He's tiny. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that has been referenced four different times on Designing Women, and twice on Major Dad, and actually once on Simon and Simon. Do you think maybe just Gerald McCraney's a big fan?
Don't know.
That is a weird coincidence otherwise. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 273.
And William was noting a new family member that we have over there. We got a new little kitty.
Yeah, what? Why? Why did you do that?
Well, the same reason we got Ezzy last time, because Trish fell in love. So, there was a Craigslist ad for an 8-week-old cat. Orange, male, that somebody wanted somebody to take. And Trish totally fell in love with them in the pictures. And so we decided to go for it. And we went out there, and they said he was 8 weeks. He's super not 8 weeks.
Well, unless he's a runt.
Yeah, no, the vet is estimating 6. I even think that's being generous. He's a baby.
I would agree with that assessment.
He's a little baby.
He's very small.
But he does eat solid food. And he's an awesome little guy. He finally has a full name, an official name. His full name is Adewale Furfur Little Guy Parsons. We mostly call him Addy.
Gus for short.
How'd you get Gus?
Do you really want me to explain to you? Because I don't think you do.
Is it a reference to...
No, it's one of those almost Jim McGregor type of life experience things.
Oh. But yeah, mostly I call him Addy or Little Guy. Trish calls him Furfur sometimes. The other cats hate him, but they're, like, terrified of him, which is just really funny, and so they did not want anything to do with him, but the problem is he's not having it. Nothing scares him, and he loves all living things. Like from the moment he saw us, he was cool with us, and he's like, we will be friends. You will love me. And he chases them around and shit. He really goes after Twiglet's tail. And they're finally just running out of steam to be mad. So they still, if he gets too close, they're like, "Arr." And Ezzy's still weird. But for a while, Ezzy was stalking around here like she was scared 6 of them were going to drop from the ceiling. And now she just sort of doesn't want to be where he is. And I think some of it is she's coming around because he's been mostly hanging out in the family room with us, and mostly they're missing out on the attention. We try and give them some, but for the most part, if they want to hang with us, he's there. So they're learning that they have to deal with that. And given this is only since Saturday, they're actually progressing really fast. They're getting on a lot better now. Oh, he is using the little box now. Yeah, he is so fucking adorable. I can't even cope. Like, he hasn't really made me mad with anything, but a couple times he's been annoying, and I'm like, God, you're so cute. Oh, I can't be mad because you're so cute. So, yeah.
So yeah, I should try being cuter.
I've been saying that for years.
You'd be less mad at me.
For those of you just joining us, we have a cat. But also, here's how we have a hat.
It rhymes with cat.
Yeah. The magical talking cat, except he can't talk. He just... We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like yourselves write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show. Did we? Yeah, we met last week.
Yes, we did.
Alright, so how's your week been?
It's been alright. I don't know if there's anything of interest to our listeners there. There's been some stuff going on in the DC Comics world that's been interesting, that has been interesting to me. Not to the extent I'm rushing out to buy the comic books that have been released.
But to the extent that you sent us all like six articles in the space of 2 hours.
Here's the thing. The event, people might know, is called Rebirth. It's not a reboot or relaunch, according to DC, but it's really shaking up their comic books. And it's a little annoying that they're even doing this because, you know, New 52 is supposed to be this big reinvention of everything. And I don't know. Anyway, one of the reasons why I'm not going to buy any of the Rebirth comic books is related to the reason
If you're hearing a little jingle bell in the background, it's because Eddie's playing with a mouse that has a bell on it. I apologize.
Is the reason I don't read comic books very much anymore anyways, because, like with DC especially, if you're going to keep up, you know, even if all you want is, like, say, the Batman title, which is what I used to subscribe to keep up with all of the stories that Batman's going to be in, and what I mean by that is, if you're subscribing to the Batman title, you know, you'll get one issue after another, and you won't understand what's in the next issue because a whole bunch of stuff happened in several other issues, and you need to read those other issues to know just what's happening in the book that you've subscribed to.
Yeah.
So for you to keep up on things that are going on with your characters, you have to buy, like, you know, 5, 6, 10 books a month, which I'm not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, but whatever continuity is involved in those stories is deep and probably goes back 2 years, and I'm not going to be able to remember half the stuff, even if I'm reading 10 books a month. So,
I find trades work better anyway, because...
Sure.
Generally speaking, they'll put whatever they need in there to make it coherent.
Sure, sure. And Rebirth is based on, you know, like Convergence, which I haven't read, that big Convergence event that they had. And a lot of New 52 stuff that I haven't read. So there's no point in me reading it. But I am interested in what impact it's going to have on DC continuity. So I've been reading a lot of, you know, synopses and things, which you have to read several because whenever anyone... gives a synopsis, they talk about all the stuff that they liked or that was important to them in the issue, and they might not mention all the things that would have been important to you if you read it. So you read several different ones so that you can get a pretty clear idea of what's in it. You read
careful, he's behind you.
You read commentaries and conversations and discussions, and so I've been very interested in it and kind of encouraged by it so far, but you know, you kind of have to be cautious. But that's one thing that's occupied a lot of my time this week that I've probably already talked too much about.
You guys beat Far Harbor yet?
No.
How are you liking Far Harbor?
It's all right.
Is it different from the main game? Or is it pretty much just more of the same?
It, to me, seems like more of the same. I mean, other people may differ in their opinion on that. But for me, it's just a longer game, you know? Just another area to visit, other... places to explore, other enemies to kill. It's all the same to me, but
I'm still playing Tropico. I managed to achieve a nuclear weapon, which apparently stopped World War III from happening, so that was good of me. A lot of the explanations for things are really thinly put together, and sometimes very blatantly so. A lot of the explanations of how research and technologies were developed are just jokes. Like, they're not anything that even makes sense. But yeah, this one, apparently I needed to build a nuclear weapon before the two superpowers attacked each other, because now I'm basically a deterrent, supposedly. Mm-hmm. All right, if strange sounds happen, that's because Addy's walking across the mixer right now.
So what about you?
Not too much. Book's coming along. I am at about 24,500 words. Not quite. I think I'm 24,400 or something. This is Addy purring, by the way. So that's coming well. And at the moment, we're traveling between worlds, so that takes up a lot of word count. So that's good. In my head, I do a lot of comparisons in my head between this book and the first Dresden Files book. In between the series, really, in a lot of ways. And in my head, because the first Dresden... Okay, now Addy's sniffing William's crotch, so that's interesting. Now he's going to attack William. Oh! He's mad you're thwarted. He doesn't like his will being thwarted.
What am I doing? I'm
trying to get out of his way. He's trying to attack your arm, and you moved it.
Oh, I thought he wanted to crawl.
No, he wanted to attack your arm. I didn't say he had to let himself. I was just explaining why he was grumbling. So I looked up the first Dresden Files book, because that one's pretty small compared to the rest of them, and so I thought that's a good size to shoot for. You know, it's like 87,000 words.
Sure.
So yeah. I got a long-ass way to go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I won't hit that in the first draft, but... so that's coming along. He just wants to play with everything. I talked last time about the WNUF Halloween special movie, didn't I?
I don't know.
1987, except it's not really. Okay. I should mention that. I watched this a little while ago. I think I watched it after we recorded the podcast. I think I watched it that night.
Okay.
So I wanted to talk about this. It's on Amazon, and I do recommend it if what I'm about to tell you sounds good. Which for a lot of people I think it will. It's ostensibly a horror movie, but really, maybe the last 5 minutes qualify as a horror movie. What it is, the conceit of it is that you are watching somebody play a VHS tape playing where somebody has recorded 2 hours of television on Halloween night, 1987. And it consists of a news program, like the evening news, and then a Halloween special that is a reporter leading people into a supposedly local haunted house. And then it's live. That part's supposed to be live, so of course things happen, and it turns horror movie-ish at the very end. But it's a dead-on depiction. Like for a lot of it, I was a little bit wondering if this really was made back, because this is a 2014 movie, but it's just dead on. And the commercial, there's commercials, of course, but they play around with it, because it's supposed to be like 2 hours, but the actual movie is like 82 minutes or whatever, because there are parts that they whoever's watching it fast forwards through. And frequently it's the parts of the news that have nothing to do with Halloween. Sometimes they fast forward through commercials, sometimes they don't. But the commercials, all of them are not technically companies or names you've heard of, but you recognize all of them. Mm-hmm. There's a carpet outlet commercial that shows up 3 different times, same commercial, because that's what would happen. You're watching TV late at night, they show us. And it's all just really dead on. There were just a couple of places where I'm like, I think technically that's anachronistic, and one or two places where I'm like, people, even on local TV, don't act like that. People in movies act like that. And so there are a couple things where I'm confident it was not done then, but it's really well done. And so for people like me who often just enjoy watching things from the past like that, like it has a very 80s feel. The newscasters dressed up in costume for the newscast that night, because it was Halloween.
Oh, because it was Halloween.
And I'm like, that would never happen today. But that totally would have happened in the 80s in a local news channel. And I mean, they weren't elaborate costumes. One was a vampire. I forget what she was dressed as, but and the whole thing just very has. They've really caught that 1987 feel, and it's and the fonts they use and stuff. It's really, And the obsession back at the time with the idea that people are going to poison your candy There's Satanists out there. They do a whole story on the news thing about there's a religious group in town who's trying to get everybody to boycott Halloween because it's of the devil. And I'm like, I remember all of this.
Yep.
So it's really fun. Yeah, the WNUF Halloween Special is what it's called. Seriously, you cannot hang out on the mixer. This is the same conversation we had when you wanted to crawl on my keyboard. Not okay either.
Meow.
Oh, yeah. And he's crawling on my keyboard.
He's very willful.
He is, and he just wants to run. He has two modes, destroy and snuggle. Luckily, he's not very good at destroy.
Yet.
But he's very... Yeah, I think he might end up being really big, but right now he's tiny. He's a little orange kitty who still has blue eyes. I don't know if he'll keep his blue eyes or not. Trish thinks he's going to have gold eyes because in certain lights you can see bits like that. I thought there was another thing. There's the book, there's the cat, there's that movie. No, I think that's pretty much it. Alright, so should we hat this thing up?
Where?
I think the hat's actually down where he is.
Excuse me, Gus.
Gummo. Sticks. What you got?
Stu.
What? No, my name's not Stu.
As a comedy write-in, who would you put down on the ballot for president?
In your case, I assume you'd put one of the actual major party candidates as a comedy write-in.
I don't know. Is a comedy write-in.
When it comes to write-ins, especially write-ins that are meant to be a joke, which really all write-ins should be, because what the hell are you doing, really? I think my uncle would make a much better president. That's so good to know. Literally no one cares, including your uncle. But when I was a kid, I thought this was brilliant. I was like, you can put whoever you want. You can put Mickey Mouse. I don't know why all my people sound like this tonight. I don't know what that's about. But I was like, this is hilarious. Dracula, you know, whatever you want. And nowadays, I'm like, that just feels so both hacky and sort of masturbatory. Because not only is it an old hack joke at this point, in my opinion, but, I mean, unless you're the guy who goes around telling people who you wrote in, it's a joke for you only. Mm-hmm. And maybe one, you know, who the hell counts the votes? God damn it. Our election process in this country is so opaque, it's fucked up. Okay, according to my wife, who spent some time working for the county elections office, they are counted in aggregate and only are counted if they would win. Only looked at if they would win.
So literally, nobody's going to know.
Yes.
Except you. And like you said, unless you're going to run around saying, hey, guess what I did?
Exactly.
I wrote in so-and-so.
Ow. Ow. But so, yeah, like, it's not, I don't know. But, okay, Stu is standing next to you at the polling place with a gun to your head because you have to write in a funny thing for president, I assume. I can't think of a funnier one than Donald Trump. That's the problem. I mean, until a couple of years ago, that was the funniest one.
Yeah.
I mean, you could who's the fucking lunatic new president of the Philippines? We could write him in. That guy's a nut. Who just got... Oh, the lady who got impeached in Brazil, who in my head I just think of as the Brazilian Leona Helmsley. I don't remember her actual name.
I can never remember her name either.
But that's who she makes me think of. She's Brazilian Leona Helmsley. That's who I'm on. That's just what I would write. I would write Brazilian Leona Helmsley. That is my comedy name and possibly the title of this episode. Which, for people who haven't listened yet, are going to think it's just a really specific waxing technique that certain businesses have. What about you?
Yeah. I got nothing. I have no idea. I'm having a hard time even getting into the mode of what would make it funny. You know what I mean?
I don't blame you for having difficulty it's with like, that.
If I understood what makes it funny, then I could maybe come up with somebody that would be funny, but I'm not sure what would make it funny.
Let's try and do this one. I'm gonna work you through this. As usual, our podcast is turning into your therapy. I feel like it helps you. I feel like this is good. I feel like we're getting closer to you being able to interact with the real world again. We can let you out of that cell, finally.
Mm-hmm.
So, think of the most ridiculously inappropriate, like patently, obviously inappropriate person to be president of the United States. The worst you can think of.
But, I mean, I think you've hit on...
Ooh, Ralph Wiggum would be a good write-in. I would love to write in Ralph Wiggum.
I think you've hit on why it's difficult to do that, considering the times we're in. You know, it's like...
Martin Shingles, the asshole who raised the price on the AIDS drug and then bought the Wu-Tang album. Martin Shingle. This is a guy. He looks like he's 12. He's like got millions and millions of dollars. He's the head of some conglomerate that owns the patent to a particularly important AIDS medication, and he has more money than Canada, and he upped the price on it by like 700% or something. And so he became famous for being an asshole for doing that. And then later, by coincidence, it turned out he had purchased... The Wu-Tang Clan released an album that they released exactly one copy, and we're going to auction it off to one person on the rule that I think it was 80 years before they could play it publicly. And it turned out this guy bought it also.
Maybe I'd write in whoever is
Martin Shakira. I don't
whoever
know.
Is the biggest, viral YouTube sensation.
There you go.
Whoever that is, I don't know who that is now.
I think it was a dude named Pew Pew Die, I believe.
Huh?
His name his YouTube name was Pew Pew Die. I believe he was the biggest one
lately.
I believe, yeah, I think so.
What was it?
He did a lot of videos of him playing video games and having hilarious difficulty with them, I think.
Oh, no, I mean, like whoever is the most recent, like someone to just, oh, like the lady who had the Chewbacca mask. That's a thing, right?
I think I know what you're talking about.
Chewbacca mask lady. That's who I
write. And you write
in.
It like that. Specifically, yeah. Don't
yeah.
put...
No, not her name.
Find her name. Chewbacca Mask Lady.
Chewbacca Mask Lady.
So, to the uninitiated, it just sounds like you put down three random words.
Right.
Chewbacca Mask Lady.
That's who I'd write in. There it is.
I like that. Chewbacca Mask Lady.
I don't know if that's funny, but that's probably what
Addie
I'd write in.
Addie is way into your crotch. Are you keeping kitty treats in your crotch? I've always suspected.
I don't even want to know what that means. Okay, so we've answered this one, right?
Let's Yes. Thank you so much, Welshy. That's what I call him at work. I've been meaning to talk to him for days, but he's on vacation because I was watching one of the many TV shows out there that just basically plays funny videos from the internet. There's so many of those TV shows, and I watch like all of them because I'm a slug.
I watch them too because that's where I get my pool of presidential candidates.
There you go. and there was one where the host of the show was like, okay, we're going to have this one now from Wales. And he says, don't get fooled by the posh accent. Wales is basically the Oklahoma of the UK.
Oh.
And I wanted to tell him about it the very next day, and he's gone for like a week of vacation.
Oklahoma of the UK.
Yes. Who
should be more insulted there? Oklahoma or Wales?
Oh, I question for the ages.
I like
there.
Oklahoma.
I don't know Oklahoma. So
plus, I wonder how.
Seriously, you're messing with our levels. Okay, I'm gonna throw it, and then you go catch it. Okay. Wait, this is fetch. Twiglet used to do this. Watch. Go. Okay. Well, Twiglet's gonna go get it.
Plus, I wonder. I wonder if there's a little bit of racism in that comparison.
I'm sure.
Because, you know, Oklahoma is traditionally Indian country. A lot of reservations there.
Yeah, I don't think that's what Oklahoma's, like, known for being. I think people assume Oklahoma is a bunch of white hillbilly rednecks.
Okay.
I believe that is the prejudiced view. I believe that is the classic stereotype for right. Oklahoma.
I just didn't know which one, if that's what they were referring to because they're backward country folk or because there's a lot of Indian reservations there.
I definitely don't think it's so. Okay. I think the only people who probably refer to there being many Indian reservations and making fun of that are probably non-Indians who live in Oklahoma.
Okay.
But again, never met Oklahoma. We talked a little on Facebook, but we never like dated or anything like that, so I can't really say.
I like Oklahoma.
But I love making fun of Wales. Although Oklahoma does have a history, they don't have a good legislative history. There's like a handful of states that when you hear some state tried to pass some horribly prejudiced law, and Oklahoma's on that short list.
Yep.
Oklahoma, Kansas, the Carolinas, and Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas.
Which is also really unfortunate because I like Kansas, a lot of people from there. But yeah, there's often some very unfortunate legislation.
Rhode Island, you hardly ever hear about their legislation. I'm not even sure they have laws. All right, this one is also from Stu. So congratulations, Stu. You're getting like your own episode, and it's titled Brazilian Leon Hemsley. I just realized we named it that. People looking for very specific porn fetishes are going to be searching that.
But you usually find that to be a benefit.
That's true. We probably get more SEO that way. I always love when I'm trying to look up like a restaurant and their website with their name is like the fourth thing down and the rest is still references to them, but it's all like Yelp or Urban Spoon or something. I'm like, you need somebody to help. I seldom say that, but you need somebody to help you with your SEO. We do not have that problem. If you type the magical talking hat with no spaces, we are the first thing to come up. If you put in the spaces, sometimes you get some Harry Potter bullshit. All right. Like I said, from Stu, if reality were an RPG of your choosing, what class would you be? So if reality was a rocket-propelled grenade of your choosing, what year would you have graduated? That's a terrible question.
That's good. That was really good.
No, it's terrible. I don't even know what that means. If
shtick-wise, I'm the one that should have been saying everything you just said, but anyway.
Hi, Twiglet. What's up?
I might actually even be able to give a fair answer to this after, you know, dabbling in role-playing.
Or are you going to make the world
so.
Fall out?
I don't know. You go first. I'll think of what I want the world to be.
This is tricky because I'm like, what RPG do I want the reality to be? Because most of them tend to have a definite dystopian edge.
Sure, do we have to pick one that... Do we have to... I mean, could we just make one up?
No.
It's got to be one that's like out there. Like
I'm just saying that because you would take 3 hours and you would make up one that was really boring.
No, I mean, you know, I've written a lot of stories and I can just say, well, I'm going to have an RPG based on this story and then these classes are going to be in it and I'm going
to
pick that.
Well, you would have to explain it. GURPS, the Generic Universal Role-Playing System, and you'd tailor it to your story. Sure. So, yeah, you're all set then.
Yeah, exactly.
He snuck up on you there, didn't he? He kind of blends into the carpet. The carpet's sort of yellowy, so the orange kitten sort of hides in that.
Gus is like, now what?
It's like, your move, big guy. Seriously. Especially his tail. He goes after Twiglet's tail.
What made me laugh just now was, okay, so first there was a little bit of a confrontation. Twiglet comes around the corner, did not see the little guy. And there was, and Twiglet was...
Everybody jumped.
Yeah, everybody jumped. Twiglet was kind of scared. But the little guy here, he's just sort of looking at Twiglet, like not scared, like, okay, now what? And as soon as Twiglet kind of walks by, the little guy sort of like lunges at him, and Twiglet runs away. This little guy is totally fearless. That's
Addy's version of "you better run."
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he's looking at him because he's like, we've been doing this for days now. How are you going to react this time? Twiglet's definitely the closest to being okay with him. Ezzy less so. But as evidenced by Ezzy's not on the podcast tonight. I don't know where the hell she is.
But when we say class, we mean like in a...
In thief, a, mage, archer.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
I'm way more stuck on the other one. Like the what RPG I would choose.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's always the factor of, you know, magic user sounds coolest. I'm often into the magic user types.
But I mean,
I don't know, you seem to have a better handle on this than me. You say
something. But I mean, in science fiction and fantasy, they both have, like, analogous, like, you know, what they call a brick, I guess? Like, you know,
well,
the big fighting guy. You can get that.
You can break it down, especially when you get into the game aspects of it. Things like a tank, range striker, melee striker, controller, healer, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And a lot of classes break down to that. The tank is the person who's basically there to keep the bad guys busy and to take all the damage, and they tend to be really tough. You can just wail on them for a while.
Which I don't think I would tend to pick that one.
Anything
like it.
A striker is anybody. A striker, also known in some games as DPS or damage per second, are the people who are just there to hurt the bad guys. And you can sometimes have ranged ones who do it from far away, or you have ones who are up close and do it, that kind of thing. Controllers tend to be the ones who change things. They put status effects on bad guys, or they buff up the good guys, that kind of stuff. They manipulate the situation to the benefit of their people. And a healer tends to keep everybody alive. So...
And that last one's the one I usually like to be.
Unsurprising. When I played MMOs, healing was some of the stuff I was best at, and I seemed to enjoy the most.
Why do you say that's unsurprising? Like, that's a boring thing for me to say.
No, it's just very you. Like, I would do the thing that would help people make people feel better.
What's wrong with that?
Absolutely nothing. It is. I didn't say that's disappointing or anything like that. It was just super unsurprising.
It sounded disappointing. Like,
well,
it's uninteresting.
It was disappointing in that it would have been exciting if you'd said something I hadn't already expected. It's disappointing in that I like to be surprised, you know, and that is not a surprise. I also could have given you the tank, because that's the whole thing. It's like whatever role is helping your comrades rather than hurting the enemy, I assume is going to be you. And if we took this thing seriously, which we're not going to, that'd be true for me too. Because in real life, I'm pretty much a pacifist, so I wouldn't want the roles that like fuck people up.
Well, the one you said, the control one, also, and a lot of characters are a combination of both those things, especially if they're magic wielders.
Yes, and controller is something that D&D really sort of came up with. And there's a lot of variance on that. Healers often have a lot of control stuff, things like that. Certain types of strikers can have that kind of stuff, too.
But, like, when I'm a magic wielder, I don't really care, you know, if I'm playing a game and I'm a magic wielder, first of all, I'm usually going to pick that over just about anything else.
Mm.
And we've talked about why that is before. I mean, it seems like the character who's generally scholarly, you know, like a learned character. And I guess I gravitate towards those types of characters in fantasy situations. But if I'm a magic wielder and I'm picking what my gifts and talents are, and I have a choice to stack up things that's going to help the other players,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to spells that I'm going to throw at the enemy,
mm-hmm.
I'll pick those former ones rather than the latter ones, because I don't really care about doing damage to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah,
and in games in general, both in pen and paper RPGs and in video games and stuff, I try and mix it up. I try and be like, I've been playing a lot of this kind of thing lately. I'll play this. Which is why, like, I was a warrior in Dragon Age 2. Warrior's probably one of the ones I tend to least go for, but I was like, I haven't played one in a while. Let's do that. And especially in a lot of these games nowadays, the Dragon Age ones are a good example. The complexity is the same across the board. If you're playing D&D, at least back in the day D&D, and you're playing a fighter, you have way less you have to keep track of than if you're playing, like, a wizard or something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's, you know, a wizard has to keep track of its spell power and the different spells it knows. Yeah, and a fighter has to keep track of, like, its fury power and the different mm-hmm. sword techniques it knows, and it all evens out to the same. So, because that used to be my big thing, is, like, which is the most interesting to me? And in a lot of them, it becomes just different flavors, but it's the same sort of thing across the board. But yeah, overall, I'm going to go for magic.
And for me, it doesn't have to be magic. It just has to be that support role. I mean,
for me, it is more about magic.
Okay.
In general, I don't like when I played Mass Effect originally, the character class I did was the one that was basically half. In that one, the three categories were the fighter, the closest thing they had to a mage, was basically a psychic, a biotic, they called it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a engineer who did all the tech stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mostly played was the one that was, you could play any of those three, or you could play ones that were half one, half another.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the one that was half engineer and half psychic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In later versions, I decided that it was actually way more fun to just play the engineer. A lot of the engineering stuff was more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But then later they fooled me and they came back with more interesting psychic stuff. Those games really evolved as they went on.
In the Star Wars game we're playing, and we're playing a version that doesn't really... None of the characters have force abilities.
Yeah.
I'm playing...
What Star Wars game are you playing?
I forget what it's called. You know, it's the RPG series. There's lots of different versions you can play with force users or not force users or different kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I forget precisely what it's called. Mm. But I'm a mechanic, you know.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly fine for me. I mean, most of the time I've done role-playing in the last year or so, however long it's been, year and a half, I haven't really played support characters like that because usually... It's games on demand, right? And so you get together and you're trying to create just these one shot, really compelling characters.
Pick up teams, yeah.
But this is a campaign, and you've got an opportunity to be a member of a team that's going to be going for a long time.
Oh wait, you're talking about the RPG you're playing with Dave Avid. You're not talking.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about a video game.
No. Sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
All right.
That's didn't mean to confuse
you. Yeah, a lot of the versions of Star Wars have been pretty good at trying to make, and I like when a sci-fi game tries to make the not so flashy roles interesting.
Yeah, well, and I've really enjoyed
often
it a
they're
lot.
Bad at it, but I but really, some games are really
I really enjoyed
decent.
Just playing that support role a lot.
Yeah,
really enjoyed it.
And like Dresden Files had an aspect of that, the RPG, they would you got bonuses for being just a straight mortal with no powers.
Mm.
Because they wanted to sort of encourage more people to do that. so I get that. Yeah, it's as with most things in life, I can't commit. So it's just different all the time. All right, let's move on.
But that question's about making you commit, making you decide.
Right?
Because reality...
Apparently, I'm the William tonight.
Coffee.
Hey, I'm just happy she's not Welsh.
If the work is over and all is said and done, what did you spend more time doing? Work or talk?
Talk. I talk a lot. I don't know if you've noticed. Wow, you tried to bite me and it kind of turned into a yawn, didn't it? One of my favorite things about him, he's pretty good at soft paws, but he likes to bite. He's very orally fixated. He wants to know what things are like in his mouth. But I love this when he's like gonna fight and you're nowhere near his mouth, but he anticipates biting something, so he just opens it in preparation.
This is called the Magical Talking Hat, not the I Have a New Kitten podcast.
Please, this is far and away not the least interesting
thing. If the work is over and all is said and done, what did you spend more time doing, work or talk?
This sounds mostly just like a play on words.
I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't work a lot, and I talk a lot, so...
Sometimes talking is the work.
Exactly. I was going to say, sometimes talking is work. Are you ordering some supper, or are you buying shoes?
No, I'm not.
I know, but I didn't think that would stop you from doing it again. Zappos is ruining my life.
It is not.
The walls of this house are slowly being replaced with shoes.
Oh.
No, it's actually
they
not.
Might make better walls.
Trish gets all sorts of pretty shoes now. They look really good. But, man, does she order a lot of shoes.
Sometimes I send them back.
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's going to happen sometimes, getting them online.
It has sure. been known to happen.
I have a coworker who feels that all ills can be solved by buying shoes. And I spoke with her recently about the fact that I've learned this habit from her. And she said when things are really bad, what she actually does is order shoes that she likes two sizes too small for her. Because then they come, and she opens them, and she looks at them, and they're very pretty. But, of course, they don't fit. So then she packages them back up and sends them back.
Huh.
Because, yeah, with a lot of these places now, free returns and stuff. For those of you who couldn't hear the producer...
It's all about emotional gratification.
Her friend at work who really likes buying shoes, sometimes when she can't... She shouldn't be buying more shoes. She buys them... But two sizes too small, so then she can see them and look at them, but then she still has to send them back because they don't fit. Alright, I'm letting you wander again, but don't cause trouble. Or you can stay here, that's also fine.
Maybe I really don't understand what coffee's asking.
I don't know. Like I said, I think it's just a play on words. When the work is done, all is said and done, more work, more saying. But
I don't know how to answer the question.
I definitely think I talk more than I work. Even if you gave all the times where my talking was work and you gave all that credit over to work, still talk more than work. I don't work very much and I talk a lot.
I can't really look at now because I work all by myself. So obviously I'm working a lot more than talking. But when I worked in an office...
No, but this is in your life.
I think I look at the worked more than I talked then,
some
too.
Totals in your, 63 years on this earth, whatever it is?
Well, most of my jobs have been sort of...
But it's not just
by
during...
By myself, or...
It's not just during a job. Doing work at home, talking to homeless people on the street, all of it. All of your life.
Oh.
Every minute of your life that can be...
It probably
defined
work.
As work or talk.
Probably work.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Especially if you take my whole life into account. Like,
you didn't learn how to talk till you were like 6, or
no? I mean, I didn't talk to very many people at all until I was in like high school.
I can see that. I feel like most of the time when our lives have intersected have been in circumstances where you talk a fair bit.
Yeah. Well, and in high school...
Like, I certainly think I've witnessed you talk more than I've witnessed you work.
Oh, probably. Probably. Not even just counting the podcast.
No, I'm sure that's true.
I'm sure that's true. But...
But I can believe that overall you've done more work than talk.
Especially since probably for every minute you've been around me where I'm talking a lot, when we're apart, I probably spend 2 minutes not saying anything to kind of recover from the fact that I had to do all that talking. That's one of those introvert things I've heard.
I've been recently pondering the idea that it's very difficult to be a misanthropic extrovert, which appears to be what I am. Like, I frequently don't like hanging around people, but it energizes me. That's not even a joke. I'm pretty serious about that one. Like, it's an odd position, because I very clearly tend to run as an extrovert. I get very energized from hanging around people, from interacting with people. But I very frequently don't want to be doing that. So, like, my unconscious psychological needs are at direct confrontation with my psychological, my upfront psychological desires.
Well, you know, the only reason, you know, I've gone through periods of time where I find myself talking a lot, even to the extent where while I'm talking, another part of my brain is saying, why don't you just shut up? Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you even sitting here talking on and on and on about? And what it comes down to is, I have things to say, so to speak.
Better to burn out than to fade away.
But here's
why does my impression of the Kurgan from Highlander kind of sound like Fat Albert?
I don't know.
I feel really uncomfortable with that.
But here's the thing. I've often sort of fantasized about finding a book somewhere that in a bookstore that's like a bestseller that says everything I would ever want to say, so I can go, ah, good, someone else is saying this, it's a bestseller, I can shut up now. Because when I say I have things to say, what I mean by that is I feel a moral obligation to challenge certain ideas or to criticize certain things I see in the culture or to change the cultural dialogue. I feel a moral obligation to do that. But another part of me doesn't want to do it because
You feel that it needs to be done and nobody else is doing it, so
exactly,
you do it.
Exactly.
You feel it needs to be said and nobody else is saying it, so you say it.
Which is probably why I say it so poorly, because half of me just wants to stay home and not bother anybody, but the other half feels like, well, if I don't say this, who's going to? And so those two things together don't often make a very eloquent expression of what it is I'm trying to say. Mm. But, you know. So I'll go through these phases of not saying anything for a long time, and then phases where I'm just running at the mouth all the time, and I don't seem to have any control over it, and it's kind of like a pendulum swinging.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you only have two modes.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
You've got to let me tell you the history of my entire people, or I'm sorry, my vocal cords don't work.
Well, it's always, the goal is always the same. Like, well, I got to get this out. And so once I have it out, then I can stop talking and just leave everybody alone. But I can't find the balance, obviously, because I can't find the balance within my own self.
Over 5 years, and we haven't found it yet. We're still going.
5 years? Dude, you know, I'm...
Yeah, I know, but I don't pay attention.
I'm 40...
Like 63, I know. I thought of something else that happened that I should talk about.
Okay.
I finally... So a while ago, well, let's start with this. You familiar with Mystery Science Theater 3000?
I am, yeah.
Yes. Did you ever watch any Mystery Science Theater 3000?
A little bit. A lot less than I wanted to.
Are you familiar with a particular movie that is famously horrible, that became famous because it was on Mystery Science Theater 3000, called Manos, the Hands of Fate?
No.
Okay. It is... by many people's estimation, the worst movie ever made. It is, by other people's estimation, at least in the top three or four. It was a movie made, I want to say in the 50s, by a gentleman who was wealthy, who had made his money as a fertilizer baron,
okay,
for lack of a better term, and when sitting around in a bar with a friend, a screenwriter friend of his, talked about how basically movies, why people bitch about how difficult it is to make a movie, he could make a movie, and so they made a bet, and so he made this movie on a bet. It is terrible, and very few people heard anything about it, and then Mr. Science Theater did a thing. So recently, I was reading an article on Cracked that they interviewed the woman who played a little girl in the movie about the experience.
Okay.
And I thought this was cool, so I'm bringing this up to Coffee. I'm like, did you ever see Manos, Hands of Fate? And she's like, no, I never even heard of it. I'm like, what the hell? It's a Mystery Science... like, if you're a Mystery Science Theater person, you really should be into that. And she's like, well, Neuroduck is really the Mystery Science Theater fan. which I knew they were, but apparently Neuroduck is the big one. So I email Neuroduck, and I'm like, you have screwed up. You claim to be a big Mystery Science Theater nerd. You never introduced your wife to Manos Hands of Fate. And Neuroduck responded and said, actually, I've never seen it either.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the hell? And I was mad. But living in the era we do, I was like, fuck it, as Jesse Hyatt would say. And I immediately went on Amazon, found a DVD of the Mystery Science Theater version of it, and just bought it and said, okay, it'll be here in 2 days. When are we going to watch it? Because you can do that now through the magic of living in the 21st century. Well, things happened so that it took us a while, but we finally did watch it this weekend. And for those of you who have seen it before, watch it again. It is, I don't want to say it doesn't hold up, but you almost forget how bad it is. And I, for the life of me, can't even envision watching it without Mystery Science Theaterizing. It's so, like, it makes no, oh my god, I can't even describe. It's amazing. It's really amazing. It was also interesting because it's now, Mystery Science Theater's been a while. And this was a while back. This was a Joel episode. That's how old it was.
Yeah.
It's also, by the way, to give you people perspective, if you're not familiar enough, but you're familiar with Mystery Science Theater 3000, which, by the way, shame on you. You can't be an MST fan unless you've seen this. It is so bad that during the movie, both mad scientists at a certain point apologize. Like, secretly, so the other one can't hear. Never happened any other time on that show. That bad. What was I saying about it? But, I found it interesting because it's been a while now. And Mystery Science Theater tended not to be really topical. Like, not a lot of current event stuff. But they toss in a couple. And this has a Senator Bob Packwood joke in it.
Wow.
Which is weird for me. I mean, because not only had I forgotten about all of the hubbub with him, and
I still have forgotten it. Just the name. That's
he's
all
he was one of the earlier scandal with an intern guys. He had one of the earlier ones. Sexually inappropriate.
I
mean, with
the name interns. I recognize, but
What's weird for me is he was my senator. He's from Oregon.
Oh, from Oregon.
And we loved him up until this point. Like, we voted for him. Like, he was great. So to me, it really, and I was like, oh yeah. And it was just, and the other two were like, who? And I was like, never mind, it doesn't matter. Because I'm used to them doing, like, really old references that you have to sort of be in to get and stuff. But this one, I was like, no, at the time, this was dead on. But so if you want, I can lend it to you. Because I now own it.
No, that's all right. I'll probably never get around to watching it. It's pretty
impressive. The Master. It's also, if any of you guys saw Mystery Science Theater things that referenced a gentleman with large knees wearing a battered fedora named Torgo, and an accompanying song that went do 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 do. That's from this movie. That kind of thing happens every once in a while in the little Mystery Science Theater sketches. They'll do like another, they'll do a reference to an earlier thing. I've had movies where I'm like, "Have you seen this one?" And I describe it to them, and they're like, "That's who that guy was in that sketch in a different one." I thought they just made him up. I'm like, no, he's from one of their other terrible movies. Okay, that's all I got for that time. Oh no, there was one other thing. Don't mess up the order on those.
I'm not.
There was one other thing that I knew there was another thing that happened this weekend. We watched the series premiere of Preacher on AMC.
Oh yeah.
Preacher is, it's based off of a comic series that Garth Ennis did a long time ago.
Is it Vertigo or DC?
It's Vertigo.
Vertigo, okay.
It's definitely Vertigo. And we're gonna watch at least one more episode. It's very different from the comics, but I only kind of remember the comics. And also, I stopped the comics way before that series was done. I was reading the trades, and I just got bored with it. So I don't really know. I don't know how long I'm going to stick with it. This version, it's a small southern town, and there's a young man named Jesse who has come back to town and become a priest. And the rumors are that while he was gone, he was like a badass and killed people and stuff like that and was a dangerous kind of guy. But now he's a priest. And then weird shit is sort of converging on the town and some supernatural things are happening. But it's very grim and gritty and sort of dark and bleak. And it's a total AMC show. And that's why I think I may not stick with it. AMC makes some amazing TV shows, and they're all depressing as fuck. Breaking Bad, Mad Men, Into or Out of the Badlands. I can't remember what the title is, but it's something the Badlands, Despite the Badlands. I don't know. Walking Dead, of course. Fear the Walking Dead, of course. They're all just really bleak to the degree that I'm like, these just make me sad. And this might be, there's some quirky stuff in here, but it feels to me like the comics felt. And the comics felt not interesting to me. I felt like I could get why somebody else would be interested. Mm-hmm. I was not. And I'm kind of feeling that here. But I'm going to check it out, especially because Sam Ciso, who knows, it could be a 6-episode series. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're clearly going in some different direction, so I'm curious to see what that'll look like. But, yeah, so we watched that. All right. And really, I've pretty much killed the rest of the time here, so. You got anything you want to plug? You got a movie coming out soon, or.
Nope.
Anything like that? Ah! Surprise kitty! He is a purr machine. Trisha was worried while he was eating earlier, because he was, like, vibrating, and she's like, is he having a seizure or something? He was just purring so much that, like, his tail was shaking. With the effort. He's a cutie. Arr, arr, he's very mean. Gonna bless you. You're so mean. Yeah, if you'd like to learn more about cats and the Brazilian Leona Helmsley, visit your local library. And, what else? Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. And talk. Whoa! Are you still there, people? Because he just straight up pounced the mixer. I don't know what the hell happened. Go to themagicaltalkinghat.com and tell us what you thought of all of this. We went through a lot of questions tonight. For us, at least.
Yep.
Also, like us on Facebook because I said so. If you think you might be interested in editing my book when it is at a point that it needs editors, let us know or let me know. Do that. Jazz has let me know. I want to say Stu did, but I might have made that up. I'm not sure who else. Oh, I haven't checked it yet, but I found a recent tweet from Bloodsparrow.
Really?
So she is alive. And she still follows me, so I could DM her. So I sent her a DM just to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not guilting you into not listening, because like hardly anybody listens anymore. Mm. Mostly, we just want to know if you're okay, because you kind of just fell off the planet.
Yep, yep. So, all right.
All right, so do that, and remember, we love you.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.